You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 87. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's the power of a million-dollar connection. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson, your host here. And today I am excited to bring to you a special guest. And I was thinking as I was preparing today's episode about how important our mindset is with putting together really powerful collaborative relationships. And I've noticed over the years that your mindset can either set you up for success or it can destroy like your progress and your ideas and, you know, weigh you down and keep you from actually taking big leaps forward. So if you find that you listen to this episode and you talk yourself out of building relationships, or you maybe think, well, what do I have to offer? Who would want to partner with me? I don't have time for that stuff. I want you to do a mindset check and take my sneaky success barriers quiz at melaniesquiz.com. Now, once you take the quiz, what you'll find out is, do you have one of the top three sneaky success barriers that's holding you back? And secondly, once you take the quiz, I'm going to send you a copy of my Rewired for Wealth book, absolutely free as my gift, to help you with a blueprint of how to rewire those mindset pieces, code your mind for higher levels of success, and tap into relationships and connections that are probably already around you. Now, let me introduce you to today's special guest. And this is somebody who I've had the pleasure of getting to know over the last few years, because he worked this process of building million-dollar connections with me. So John Corcoran is an attorney, writer, and a father, and a former Clinton White House writer and speechwriter to the governor of California. Throughout his career, he's worked in Hollywood, the heart of Silicon Valley, and owned his own boutique law firm in the San Francisco Bay Area, working with small business owners and entrepreneurs. He's the creator of Smart Business Revolution and the Smart Business Revolution podcast. He's the co-founder with Dr. Jeremy Wise of Rise 25 LLC, an education and training company which holds in-person and virtual trainings for e-commerce entrepreneurs and professional services business owners. His writing has appeared in Forbes, Entrepreneur.com, Huffington Post, The Art of Manliness, Life Hacker, Business Insider, Get Rich Slowly, and numerous other publications, blogs, and websites. But most importantly, he's an amazing connector and a really great guy. So let's dig into the episode. Well, John, thanks so much for joining me for today's episode. I'm super excited to talk about this idea of how you can create these million-dollar connections. And you have such an awesome story about how you got into this. Maybe first, though, tell us a little bit about your background, because you're one of those like Renaissance men who has such an eclectic background.
Yeah, I have a really strange background. So, you know, I was telling you before, and I started off my career in kind of a strange place. I've been working my way down. I started working at the White House at 23 years old. I went from, you know, going to a party school to, at 23 years old, I was a writer in presidential letters and messages in the Clinton White House, writing the president's words. And, you know, I also had some other amazing experiences. I was an early employee of DreamWorks. I was a speechwriter to a governor of California. And I, you know, I didn't go to an Ivy League school, and I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I didn't have great connections or anything like that. Everything that has come to me has been from clawing and nailing my way up, you know, and climbing my way up and building relationships one at a time, and then eventually building relationships with higher leverage. And that's critical in any career, in any business. If you're an entrepreneur, if you run a business, you know that every opportunity comes from a relationship with someone. And so eventually I gravitated to starting my own blog and podcast called Smart Business Revolution, which I taught people how to do the same things that I've done. And now through Rise 25, my business partnership with Jeremy Weiss, we do live events where we do kind of the same thing. We bring together people around a live event or a conference, and we help them to connect and make sure that they get greater ROI out of the events that they attend.
You know, I think a lot of people imagine they want to go out and create these great connections, but I think there's a subtle art to it. Like, what do you think is your little secret sauce for creating these kinds of connections?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, they like the idea. People tell me all the time, you know, I hate networking, but I really love connecting with new people. And so it's kind of like, well, what do you think networking is, you know? So really, you know, connecting with people and building relationships is about being first really clear on what it is you want, what direction you're going in. Oftentimes that's the stumbling block, is people aren't sure what direction they want to go in, or what they're doing now isn't what they want to do down the line. And so they don't enjoy going to events, or they don't enjoy connecting with people because they're connecting with the wrong kinds of people. So I think it starts with first getting really clear about what it is you want. And then from there, seeking out the right events, seeking out the right communities, seeking out the right groupings of people and activities that you can be a part of that will fulfill you, that will light you up, that will excite you, that will make you want to just, you know, jump out of bed and, you know, go to work each day or go to an event, because you know that you're connecting with the right types of people. I think that's really where the rubber meets the road, is making sure that you're clear on where you want to go and that you're pursuing the right communities and the right events where you're going to be able to do those things.
So I got to ask the kind of the question that's probably lingering in some people's minds, like, what if you're more of an introvert and you tend to be that person who you want to like people, but maybe, you know, maybe it's difficult for you to just like reach out and start a new conversation.
Right, right. Yeah. And actually, you know what? Most people consider themselves, if not an introvert, they consider that they have introverted tendencies. You know, a lot of, you know, it's really kind of a minority of the population that is truly, really extroverted. And that's totally fine, actually. People think that that's a liability. I actually think it's often an asset, because oftentimes there are people who are extroverted, but in terms of building a really profitable relationship or relationships, they tend to drop the ball. So we've all kind of met, you know, someone who puts on a big impression, maybe in a room full of people, they make a big impression and they impress people and they've got a lot of charisma, but then they don't do anything to follow up with it. Versus someone who's more introverted, maybe they don't make a huge first impression, or maybe it's just kind of like, you know, so-so first impression. But really, the money is in the follow-up. You know, being able to follow up with people, figuring out which people you should follow up with, because we meet thousands of people every year. And it doesn't mean that everyone is worth following up with in terms of, you know, value to our career or to our business. So the introverts oftentimes can make up for whatever liability, if they think they do have a liability, in the fact that they're not as extroverted, especially in a crowd, by following up, by deepening those relationships, by doing those things that you do in order to take relationships further. So I think that's actually a lot more important than people give it credit for.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's just like having some clarity of what to do, you know, it helps people. Like, I know when you originally reached out to me, and this was probably 3 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, you invited me to your podcast. Yeah. And then we started having a conversation. And then one of the things that's always impressed me about you is you're so organized with your follow-up. Like, you literally kind of, you know, have me in your trigger system and go, oh, you know, like, I would hear from you once in a while about something you guys were doing, a new event. And I think just kind of like having three or four things you can follow up with someone and open a conversation up is like the gold.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think that there's a lot you can do in order to be more organized about that and be more deliberate about it. I think it starts with first recognizing how important that is. You know, people will go and drop six figures on their degrees, on going to college or getting a graduate degree or some kind of training or something like that. But they, you know, often aren't willing to spend as much money on building relationships. And so I think, you know, if we realize how important that is, then you also have to invest some money in it and some time and energy in it. You know, for me, I look for excuses to deepen relationships with people. And oftentimes that is around like an event or an activity. If you're not in the same city with someone, you're looking for, you know, is there a conference that we're mutually going to, or is there someone else that I can introduce that person to or connect them in some way? You know, you and I both live in California. I'm in Northern California. You're in Southern California. Actually, you live close to where my parents are. So I come to LA from time to time. And, you know, I'll try and make an excuse for us to get together. We've gotten together over lunch with some other friends and things like that. So, you know, I think those sorts of things, if you do that in the right way, then it's a way of taking the relationships further, which is really what you want to do. When you've got a network of people, you got hundreds or thousands of people you want to maintain relationships with, just look for those types of excuses where you can take that relationship further.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe we could just kind of throw out some of the different ways that you open up a connection. And I mentioned one where you invited me to your podcast, which opened a door. You've invited me to lunch when you're in the area. And, you know, because you were very, I don't want to say persevering, but like you were very intentional about it. Like it was alluring to me to say yes, because I get invited out to eat a lot. And yeah. I'm like, nope, can't make time for all those. But you know, there's just something about the way you approach it. But you have a lot of things you invite people to, like your events. Maybe we could just throw out some of the other ways that you invite people into experiences, which I think first really amplifies your influence. And second, does open up potential for business.
Yeah. And I'll also say that you don't have to organize your own events, or you don't have to organize large events in order to leverage this strategy. Because, you know, I don't want anyone listening to this thinking, oh, you know, I don't do my own events, so this isn't useful to me. Because, you know, when I was full-time practicing law as a lawyer, I was doing this with three people over coffee. And it doesn't take that much effort to do that. You know, bringing together a couple of different people, maybe who don't know each other or who know each other a little bit, but don't see each other all that frequently, is a great way you can deliver value to different people. And you can connect with higher level VIPs and influencers by being that person who's connecting people together, whether it's a small group or a dinner or a lunch or something like that. As I've moved along in my career, and as I've built a business, Rise 25, where now we do more of those types of events, you know, we've gotten more sophisticated about it. But you can bring together four people over lunch. You can bring together five people over coffee. You can do it over dinner. You can do it at a conference. You can do it in your small town that you live in. And you're, as you said, you know, you're going to be viewed as a resource, and people are going to value that relationship even more. But you don't even need to do it over an event or a meal or anything like that. You know, it could just be a resource or an idea. You know, it starts with first knowing more about the people that you want to deepen your relationship with. And of course, the next question of that is, well, how do I get to know these things? How do I know more about the people that I want to connect with? Well, we're fortunate in that social media these days, we can learn more than we ever could. 10 or 15 years ago, it was harder to know things about people who we had a tangential relationship with. We didn't have a closer relationship with them or didn't have a connection to them. It was hard to know a lot about people. And now, you know, you can look on LinkedIn, you can look on Facebook, you can do a Google search, you can learn a lot about people. And then once you learn about them, then you can find out more about them. I mean, I was just looking at, you've heard of Bulletproof Coffee, you know, Dave Asprey's the founder of Bulletproof. I was just looking at his LinkedIn profile yesterday. And I've known of him for a long time, never actually met him, but I was looking at his profile and I realized he and I went to the same college around the same time. And we both wrote for the newspaper around the same time. Like, what a weird connection that is, you know? But you're never going to know that unless you actually put the effort out there. And it doesn't have to be about someone who's, you know, as prominent as Dave Asprey is, but it could be someone else. It could be someone in your local community. You just do a little bit of digging about them and you find out something. You know, I find what's best is to learn a bit about them personally, because people just lighten up. They open up when they get to talk about things that are more of a personal nature. Now, I'm not saying that you go and like probe into something that no one else knows about.
Yeah, don't stalk them.
Exactly. But it's not stalking if it's something that they've shared publicly.
Yeah, they're passionate about.
Oh, yeah. People do that all the time. You know, they share their passions, you know, and just like, you know, talking with people about that. You know, maybe they're crazy about France, or maybe they're crazy about the World Cup, or maybe they're, you know, they're crazy about their kids or something like that. Just, you know, tapping into those conversations, which they would be excited to talk about. It's not manipulative. It's actually a great way to get to know people.
Okay, so now that you've brought this up, what I know is that Facebook and Instagram are great for this, right? Because we tend to be a little more personal, most of us do. And I know that you are an awesome dad, and you post a lot about your fun parenting learnings. Facebooking about one. What else would I know about you from looking at your Facebook profile or getting to know something personal about you?
Yeah, I do. So I post a lot about my kids. I think the highest compliment you can get, anyone can get, is if they meet you face to face and they've never met you before, they've only observed your social media profiles, that you are a reflection of who you are online. Everyone would agree with me on that. I know some people who will have very kind of they'll share controversial opinions online, and then you meet them face to face and they're super nice and they don't seem at all like they are online. Personally, I think that if you can use the online tools that we have, including social media, as a way of amplifying who you are offline, then that's a great use for those things, because it's allowing you to build relationship with a larger group of people and for them to get to know who you are, and it will naturally attract people who would be naturally attracted to you offline. The worst thing you want is a complete disconnect where people come up to you, they met you they've gotten to know you online, and they're attracted to a completely different person, because then it's just going to be jarring. And so I just try and be, online who I am offline. Of course, I try and make my jokes better when I'm sharing them online.
You practice them, don't you?
Exactly, right. I craft them in a way, I try and hold off on the bad jokes and not use those online.
You save those for the private lunches, right?
Exactly, right.
So would we have found out about that really fun, life dream that you just got back from?
Yeah, so, I just got back from 3 weeks in Maui, which was an amazing experience. Went with my kids, first time taking my kids to Hawaii. I got three boys, 7, 4, and 2. It was a little crazy, a little chaotic. I shared pieces of that because, frankly, people like to live vicariously and like to know a little bit about what's going on in your life. And I get all kinds of good feedback from those sorts of things. It's a real reflection of who I am, It's not posing, taking pictures of me as I walk across the tarmac standing in front of a private jet and claiming that this is my private jet. It's not that sort of thing. Oftentimes, I put some humor into it in order to show that I'm not trying to put on airs or anything like that or be conceited about it. It's a reflection of who I am. And I think that if you can do that and be a little bit entertaining, then people, they like to know a little bit about what's going on in your life and how you're living it.
I agree. Totally. Well, and you've also accomplished a dream. Not everybody's in a place in their business or in their career path where they can go away for 3 weeks.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of mystique around how you actually pull that off.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh yes, you like to travel like I like travel. So it's another connection point.
Right. I mean, come to think of it, other times I have shared more of those, that kind of behind the kimono kind of thing where you talk candidly about, that type of experience, a realization of a dream. I'll give you an example. I went to college in Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is a beautiful community on the coast of California, Central Coast of California, about an hour north of where you live. I love it. I love the community. And it has been a dream of mine for years to do an event there since back before I ran a business that does events. And I was practicing law and dreaming like, wow, how cool it would be to do an event in Santa Barbara. Long story short, this past fall, I realized that dream. I was able to do an event where I was able to fly flying to Santa Barbara, spend a few days there, have a nice meal, gathering with people. And it was so fulfilling to me. And I shared very candidly about that, about how long it took in order to get to that point. And I think people, they like to be able to see, you know, what that experience is like. And they like it when you're candid and honest about those sorts of things. And I was honest. It took a long time. It wasn't easy to do. And it wasn't even all that profitable. In fact, we're probably not going to do it again because it wasn't that profitable, but it still was worth doing because of the personal element to it, because I'd gone to college in Santa Barbara, because it was personally very satisfying in order to do it. And kind of the same thing with Hawaii. You know, I was working a job 6-7 years ago practicing law. And if I wasn't at my desk, I wasn't making money. And there's no way that I could have taken 3 weeks and gone away to Hawaii with my family and been able to work at the irregular hours that I was able to squeeze in while I was in Hawaii. So that was a wonderful experience to be able to do that. And we're still, as we're recording this, we're still in summer, and I still have another 2-week vacation that's coming at the beginning of next month, going up to Lake Tahoe. And that's another dream, is being able to spend more time, extended time in Lake Tahoe, which is another place that I absolutely adore. And so, you know, being able to, and it doesn't happen overnight, but being able to, over time, build a business that enables you to live a lifestyle that you love in ways that work in with your family and all the other commitments that you have, you know, it's really fulfilling. And I'm not saying that I'm not flying private jets all over the place, and I'm not like throwing Benjamins on the floor and rolling around in them. But you know, I'm happy with those victories as they've come along.
I love it. So I want to play a little game with our listeners. Are you up for that?
I'm up for games.
Okay, so we're going to run a little thread in the Amplify Your Success community. And I want to know what you picked up on was John's, like, two or three things you would find out about him on social media. Like, where his, like, authenticity shows up. I got your kids. I got your comics, right? You got your little jokes. And I got that you like to travel and you like taking these extended vacations. Is there anything else you'd throw in the pot? Because then I'm going to share mine, and then we're going to have people post in the group.
Any other personal things that I share?
Yeah, like we would find out about you, like really connecting with you online.
Yeah. You know, I especially when we're doing an event, as we do them around the country, and last year we did events, I mentioned Santa Barbara, we did events in San Diego, Austin, San Francisco, you know, all over the Las Vegas, all over the place. And I like to share just kind of like behind the scenes, like what's going into it, because I know that's something that I like consuming. So I share those pieces too. I don't like just showing like, oh, here's me standing on stage in front of a room full of people. I like sharing also like, okay, here's a picture of the back of the rental car filled with food from Costco and us in 100 degree heat sweating as we're, you know, bringing all this stuff over to our event. Cause that's really, that's the truth
that's
right
real.
There.
That's real. Those are perfect. Okay. So you may have picked up on this, and we've probably talked about it, but three of the biggies you learn about me: I love wine, and I just started a new wine podcast with Michael Neely.
How cool is that?
I love coffee, although it's only espresso. Like, I'm not really, not just coffee, but I'm an espresso girl. And you know, especially like people that have followed me a while, and I get this all the time, like, oh, how's your niece? I'm super close with my youngest niece, and she's kind of like, I'm her second mom. So people that have followed me a long time know I've been posting a lot about our adventures and things we do over the years. So, and then the new thing is, and this is definitely bonus points, and I know you listened to the episode, is we just bought a new house and have not had internet for 3 weeks. So so those are my three or four little tidbits. So when you listen in, make sure you come over to Amplify Your Success community on Facebook, if you're not already with us there, and share what you picked up from John and what you picked up from me in terms of some authentic connection points that we share about online.
And I'd love to also know what, you know, what people share about themselves, and if there's something that they are reluctant to share but feel like maybe they should, you know, because I find that's frequently the case with people. Like, they feel like they could share it, but there's something that holds them back, you know, as if there's like this very bright line dividing between who we are offline, which we would share, and who we are online, which we won't. And I think that's unfortunate. I just think that more people should be a reflection of who they are offline. And when you do that, more people who should be attracted to you will be drawn to you.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. You know, there's all this, like, it's like people think there's this, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, just some kind of special sauce we have to be successful. And I think it's really, you just plug in and you figure out your formula and you've got to be an authentic version of you. And I think there's a lot of that smoke and mirrors that's out there in the world. Totally. And people kind of like feel this gap and like maybe they're not enough or they don't have enough successes to share, but
or they have to get their ducks in a row, whatever that means, you know,
or you've had a failure and you're embarrassed.
I was talking to someone earlier today who said, you know what? I need to get my Instagram up and running before I can start doing this stuff. And it's like, no, you don't, you know, just start where you are, you know, like just start sharing.
Just plug in, be real.
Start before you feel ready.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that the key to success though? You're never ready. You just have to start somewhere and figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I remember the first podcast interview I did, probably about 6 years ago now. And, I had all kinds of as a former ghostwriter, which is what a speechwriter is, I had kind of real limiting beliefs around the idea of stepping in front of the camera or in front of the microphone, speaking into the microphone and speaking as me versus like, you know, when you're a ghostwriter, you are often, or even when you're a lawyer, you're representing a client, you're not representing yourself. And so it was a real shift, a real kind of mental shift for me. And I didn't feel comfortable with it for a long time, but eventually got more and more comfortable with it. And now, you know, it's an amazing feeling because whatever magic you bring to the world, you know, you get, it's amazing because you can get feedback from people from another part of the globe who listened to a podcast that you did or read a blog post that you wrote or saw something that you shared and got some value out of it. And that's really magical.
I love that. You know, you mentioned something earlier, and I feel like I want to circle back before we wrap up today. You know, you mentioned there's a lot of people that you'll meet that probably aren't the ones you need to follow up with. And then there'll be that those kind of million-dollar connections that you want to open up and nurture. Like, how do you know the difference?
That's a great question. Oftentimes, you don't, at least initially. And it takes a little while to kind of sort that out. And I honestly will take a little while to figure out if someone is going to be, are they a giver? Are they a taker? Are they a matcher? There's a wonderful book by Adam Grant called Give and Take, which I would recommend. It's a couple of years old now, about the different types of people out there. What you want is you want more givers in your life and you want to be a giver. The basic fundamental premise of that book was that the people who are more likely to be giving are more likely to rise to the top of the success ladder in life. But there are people out there who are just takers who will, you know, they will take your generosity and keep on taking and not give anything back to you. And that's a great way to go broke. So avoid those types of people. And it does take a little while to figure these things out. It's okay to test people, figure out like, if I ask them to do something small, are they going to do it? You know, and I'm not saying you ask them right away. Actually, I mean, that's a total mistake. I think going out, and asking a bunch of people to do things for you, I think you should go out and you should give. You should do multiple things for other people. But at a certain point, you got to turn around and you got to ask them to do something for you. And if they won't reciprocate or if they won't do even something small, then that's telling you, okay, they're probably not going to do something larger for me as well, as long as it's a reasonable ask. So I think you do need to test those things to figure out whether they're the right people for you or not.
Yeah. And maybe go in with a little bit of like an idea of who is your center of influence that you want to build relationships with and be open to it looking different, right? Sometimes people surprised me and it's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And I'm always open, but I'm pretty intentional. Like I'm pretty clear that there are types of people who, you know, there's someone who's doing business the way I like to do business. And there's someone who I respect. Like I kind of have some values around it for myself.
Right.
I was also going to bring up that book by Bob Berg, The Go-Giver. Mm-hmm. I find that's another great book about like really like shifting into that giving mentality.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you aren't taken advantage of, you know,
right.
You know, people don't take advantage of you. But yeah, I mean, I think it does go back to being deliberate and intentional and knowing what you want out of your career or out of your business, what direction you're going in, whether, you know, you want more of the types of clients that you have right now, or whether you want more career opportunities in the field that you're in right now, or if there's something else, you know. I mean, oftentimes people are working for a company and they're going to conferences and it's not what they want to do long term. So you got to face the music on that one, be honest with yourself. And if it isn't what you want to do, you need to start shifting it. But the wonderful thing is that, you know, what we're doing right now is, I mean, I think everyone should have some avenue, whether it's a podcast or something like that, some kind of forum like what we're doing right now. You can have a microphone or a video camera. It's built into almost every computer, and you can go out and you can profile people. You can interview them. You can put it on a podcast. You can write an article about it. You can just share bits and pieces of it on a blog or on LinkedIn or on Medium or something like that. And even if you do this 5 times a year, 10 times a year, and do it with existing clients, or do it with friends or partners, or do it with VIPs in your small town that you just look up to, that's going to be 5 or 10 relationships that you are deepening in a deliberate and intentional way that you wouldn't be otherwise. So I do about 50 interviews a year that I publish, 50 or more interviews that I publish. You've been one of them. Thankfully, I love that. You know, and other people that I look up to, who I admire, who, as you said, ethically, I agree with how they run their business. And I want to take that relationship further. And if everyone did that, if everyone had 50 or 100 people that they're deepening relationships with in an intentional way, who they, you know, jive with, then I think there'd be a lot more thriving businesses out there, and there'd be a lot more happy people out there. So I'm a big advocate of doing that.
All right. I got one last question for you. If somebody says they don't have time.
Yeah.
What do you say to them? Like, I don't have time to do all that.
Yeah. We all don't have time. Yeah. You know, no one has time. You know, I mean, we all have 24 hours in the day, you know, no matter how big our relationship is, it's about priorities, you know? And, we all recognize that relationships are important, and we all do things right now that are designed to develop relationships, even if we don't do a lot of it, or even if we just, you know, go to a chamber of commerce meeting from time to time, or a conference from time to time, or whatever. If you agree that relationships are critical for your career or for your business, then put a priority on them and be deliberate about it. Don't allow relationships happen to you. Take control and be deliberate about the people who you want to build a relationship with. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out there and put all your eggs in one basket and put all your effort into landing Oprah, you know, or some huge person like that. You don't need to be trying to get the biggest celebrities in the world, but you should be look critically at your business or your career and say, okay, who else could I be developing a relationship with? And if I was deliberate and intentional in reaching out to them, profiling them, whether it's through a podcast or something like that, who else could I be doing that with? And you don't need, the wonderful thing about it is you don't need to travel, you don't need a big budget, and you just need to put a little bit of effort in there. And so, you know, I've been podcasting now for about 7 years. I'm a huge rabid fan of it. I think everyone should do it, whether it's publishing things onto a podcast or publishing it onto your local blog or on LinkedIn or whatever, but being deliberate and using that as an excuse to go develop relationships with people is a wonderful thing.
I love that you brought that up. It's so aligned with what I believe too. And, you know, you can literally catapult your influence, your status, your, you know, how people see you, you know, in a matter of weeks with one of those platforms. So yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we could go on for hours. I feel another lunch coming on sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be in LA soon.
All right, good. At least I can never make it to your great events, but what do you got coming up? You have a, you know, something you'd like to share with our audience so they can connect with you further?
Yeah, I mean, you can always connect with me at smartbusinessrevolution.com or rise25.com. If you're, you know, one thing that has been really valuable to people is I give away some email templates on how to reach out to the influencers and VIPs in your field and your niche and your industry and your local town. And so if you go to smartbusinessrevolution.com, you can download those. And we've always got some upcoming events that we're doing. We've got two on the horizon in a couple of months ahead. We got one in Las Vegas, one in San Francisco. They're for e-commerce sellers. We've done different particular verticals. And so that's exciting. I'm excited about that. And feel free to reach out. And Smart Business Revolution is the name of the podcast as well, if you want to check that out.
Yeah, definitely check out his podcast. Get subscribed to that and let John know that you met him here on Amplify Your Success podcast today. John, thanks so much for being with us. I always learn so much and you've shared some great gems today. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Go out and do good. Don't let others take advantage of you, but start by giving to others and that will be a great start. So my pleasure. Thank you, Melanie.
Yeah. Thanks for listening in today. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Amplify Your Success podcast. I am Melanie Benson and I can't wait to hear how you take today's episode and spark some new possibilities. If you've loved this episode and you think others might too, give it a little social media love. That on the show page, there are buttons that you can share it. I'm on Twitter, Mel Coach. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Benson Strick. I'm on Instagram at Coach Melanie Benson. So thanks so much for being here. We'll be back again next week with another exciting, inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success. I'm Melanie Benson. Bye for now.